I appreciate everybody for being here this morning. If you would, turn your Bibles this morning. You'll find the notes of today's message inside your bulletin. If you'll turn your Bibles to the book of James chapter 1. If you'll notice in your notes today, you'll see that we're going to be in three different places today. We'll be in Deuteronomy 24, Leviticus 19, and James 1. Before I begin, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for all that you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity to be with you this morning in your house at this time with your people. Father, I know there's not a single person here by accident, but you have each of us here with reason and purpose. And Father, I pray this morning that you'd move in a great way, that we would sense your presence, we would know your power, and God, we'd see you at work in our lives. Thank you, Father, for the way you love us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Keith Taylor was like most Americans, most people, I think. He had benefited from generosity of other people at different times in his life. As a college student there in Tennessee, he was struggling one time to make up for the rent money he had. His car had broken down, and he was just short on rent for that month. And the boss that he worked for heard about it and went and actually paid his rent, just went and paid his rent as a gift, not as a loan, but as a gift, just to appreciate him as a person. And one day, sitting in his house, he's now got a better job, and he's doing pretty well, and he's thinking to himself, once I get rich, I'm going to set aside an organization. I'm going to create some kind of organization to really help people. And he was working hard, and as he thought on that, he started thinking to himself, you know, none of the people that have ever helped me were rich. He started thinking back through. He said, none of them have been wealthy. And he said he realized at that moment, why not try to start an organization now? And so that day in 2002, he decided to set aside $350. And he said, once a month, I'm going to try to help somebody in some way. Whatever $350 will do, as long as it will do, I'm going to try to help out somebody in some way. And so he set aside $350, and he set up a very small website, try to take in ideas from other people around him that he knew to help him know who he might be able to help. That website got picked up by a popular blog, and within just a few days, he had received over 1,100 emails to that small website that he had set up. And at first, he thought, great, I've got 1,100 people wanting help. And he said, as it turns out, most of them wanted to give rather than to receive. And literally from that day forward, he was able to connect those who had money to give with those who had needs in their lives. And that worked out pretty well until a short time later, he was able to create a nonprofit group called Modest Needs. He then created a larger website, and his website's now called www.modestneeds.org. To date, since 2009, he's raised $2.5 million in grants to help people around the world. He says this, he said, every day is another miracle. He said, it's beyond my imagination. Also in the interview, he says this, the exciting things about his Modest Needs website is that 70% of the people who receive help come back at a later time to help someone else. And he said, literally, people are being helped and then returning that generosity in kind. Today we're talking about God's expectation for generosity in the life of a Christian. I want you to look to James chapter 1 with me, if you will. And I want you to see, first of all, that God's not interested in religion. He's concerned about action. In James chapter 1, in verse 21, it says this, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. This one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their troubles and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. When we talk about generosity in the life of a Christian, I want you to understand God has expectation that as a Christian, you're going to be generous. He calls upon us. He has expectation from us that we're going to be generous in the way in which we live our lives. That's with our money, with our times, with our talents. And you know, sometimes in our minds we have this idea that God just, I've got too little for God to use. God can use anything. If you'll simply be willing to give of what you have, I promise you God will use anything to build about His kingdom. And I want you to understand that it's not about this idea of religion. When we talk about giving today, too many times we have this idea of the preacher just wants money or the church just wants money and they're trying to build bigger buildings or bigger plaques or bigger monuments, and people aren't into that. They don't care about that. What people want to know is my money making a difference? Is my gift, is my time, is my efforts making a difference in the lives of others? And I want to tell you something. If all we were was a religion, I would tell you no. If all we did was meet under a certain set of rules, meet for a few minutes and then leave, once a week we got together, 3 times a week, 5 times a week, 7 times a week we got together, but it was just under this idea of being religious, I want to tell you something. I believe to God that's useless. But when we get serious about putting action to our faith, that's what God's interested in. He wants to know when you're going to step up and do something with what you've been learning. You know, so many times a day we want to know more and learn more and be educated more. But the truth is God's interested in us taking what we have and putting it into motion, putting feet to it. In our church right now, we have 3 different opportunities for you to participate in a generous way. First of those is we have the Awanas are putting together money for their little storehouse. You know, ever so often the kids get rewarded by being able to go in and get a little something out of the storehouse for their learning Bible verses or their time being here. I want to tell you something. As a church, we support that. You have an opportunity to be a part of that, to give a gift of something that would help these kids really get excited. And I was noticing we had over 70 people between our kids and our workers on Wednesday nights in the Awana program. I'm so excited about that. Secondly, you've got a chance to help with the Fall Festival. You've got a chance to bring in candy for tonight. I'm sure we could always use a little more of that. But you have a chance to donate your time. From 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock this afternoon, you can be on campus. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't have a job. If you'll show up, we'll either give you a job specifically helping in one area, or you can be here to greet the visitors who come on our campus who may not be members of our church. What an awesome opportunity for you to go and give of your time, your efforts, your talents. And then thirdly, you can give to Operation Christmas Child. That's where we are putting together the little boxes. They used to be shoe boxes. I guess they still are about that size. And literally what we do is we work with Samaritan's Purse. That's Billy Graham's son's organization. And they take those shoe boxes around the world throughout the year. And these shoe boxes, we're gathering in stuff to put in the shoe boxes. Things like everyday toiletries that we take for granted in other third world countries where they're going to go. Man, they don't have that kind of stuff. They're going to think that's an incredible blessing to have some of that. For a little child who's going to open up that shoebox, there's going to be a pencil in there or some paper in there or a little notebook in there, a toy in there. And I want to tell you, today, our kids have toys all over the rooms, all over the house. We step on toys and can't get enough. In third world countries, one little toy might be all a child ever receives. And you say, well, Todd, what good does it do to give them this shoebox? And I thought we're churches and supposed to be one of Jesus. That shoebox opens the door to people hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when you're generous in your life as a Christian, and there's boxes set up here in the hallway, if you'll go to the dollar store and pick up for a dollar, you can get a whole bunch of stuff to put in those boxes. when they send those boxes out all over the world this year, you're ministering to kids all over the world. God's using your generosity to touch people that you've never met, never will meet this side of heaven. But we talked about rewards a few weeks ago as a Christian. You know, one of those rewards is what God does with the ministry you do, with the generosity you do, where people are one to Christ. I want to tell you something. That's a part of your reward in heaven. God has expectation that would be more than just religious. I'm excited that you come to church, and I'm excited that you come on a regular basis, and praise the Lord, you come to Sunday school, and you do other things. But if all you're doing is working for God and you're not knowing God, you're not experiencing God, you're not creating generosity within your own life for God, you're missing it. God wants you to know Him, and He wants you to be His hands and feet in the world around you. You say, well, Todd, I don't have much. I can't do much. I'll tell you, if you'll just start with something small, you'll see God build it to something great. You don't know, to you it might be just a dollar or $10 or $15 or $20, but to a person who doesn't have that, I want to tell you, that's like $1 million to them. And God doesn't call you to fix all the problems in the world. He just wants you to start with where you're at. He wants you to listen to what He has to say and be open to what God's doing in your life. Generosity is more than just about being religious. It's about putting action to our faith. I want you to see also in Deuteronomy chapter 24, if you'll move down to it with me, verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 18. I want you to see that God's expectation when He blesses you is that you would not be greedy with His blessings. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 18, notice what it says. It says, but you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore I command you to do this thing. You shall not pervert justice, do the stranger or the fatherless, nor take a widow's garments as a pledge. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back and get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, for the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat the olive trees, you shall not go over the boroughs again. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widows. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, it shall not glean it afterwards. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore I command you to do this thing. I want you to see this. In that agricultural society in which they lived, it was very much an agricultural society. What you grew, what animals you had, that's how you made money in life. That's how you survived. That's how you got along. And some people had crops, and they would have wheat crops or grain crops, and they would gather them up, and a man or a group of people would come along with scissors or sickles, and they would cut it off at the base. They gather a big handful. They cut it off at the base. They'd tie a rope around it or a piece of vine around it, and they'd leave it sitting in the field. And then another group would come behind them in what we would think of as wagons and put them on there and take them over into the barns, and that was their harvest. That's their way of harvesting. And God says, look, if you're harvesting one day and you look out in the field and you realize, hey, the guys forgot a couple of sheaves of wheat out there, He says, leave it. Leave it. And then likewise, He says, as you go around your field, He says, don't go in and cut the corners. Don't cut the edges of the field. Leave that as well. If you're out taking in your harvest of olives off the olive tree, off the olive branches, He said, as you get the olives, take what's ripe. Anything not ripe, leave it. If you're taking in grapes, take the grapes that are ripe for harvest. Make your harvest. But He said, what's not ripe, leave them. Why would God tell them that? Because it was His way of providing. And notice what the Bible specifically says about these people. He says, the strangers among you, the widows among you, and the fatherless among you, those who are orphans. God's providing for others through His actions towards you. Too many times as Christians, we become a stopping point in a pipeline that's supposed to flow. God blesses you so that I believe you can be a blessing to other people. God lays blessings upon you so that you might donate your time and talents and efforts so that others will be blessed by what you do. You know, God brings about these incredible blessings, and that's what he's talking about this. He brought about blessings to the person who brought the wheat. He brought about blessings to the person who had the olives, the blessings to the person who had the grapes. And he says, look, don't go back and strain to get every bit. He said, I provided for that bit you don't get so that others might be blessed by my blessings for you. Generosity understands that. Living out a life of generosity, a life that is generous, a life that is giving, understands that every single thing you have in your life is not just for your benefit. It's so that others around you might know the benefits of God as well. And I want to tell you something. In your life, I believe what you're going to find is that part that you give away, whether it be your times, your talents, or your money, that part you give away, I believe, will be a greater blessing than that part that you keep. So many times I've seen that. People who are discouraged or frustrated or angry or whatever, they go out and help another person, suddenly they find those emotions going away. When I'm dealing with people that have depression, one of the things that I encourage people who have depression is go and find somebody else to help. And a lot of times they'll tell me, they say, Pastor, I don't feel like it. I'm just too down to help anybody. I want to tell you, if you'll pick yourself up, even in the state that you feel like you're in, put a fake smile on, and go out and help somebody else who really needs some help, I want to tell you something. I believe a lot of the downness that you experience will go away. When you realize there are people in the world who have needs just like you do, I want to tell you something. God kind of lifts that burden. And it's not all about giving money. Sometimes it's about giving your talents. You know, all of us have different talents in this room. Some of us are good talkers. Some of us are good at speaking. Some of us are good at raising things. Some of us are good at doing hair cutting. Some of us are good at carpentry. You know, God's given you talents. And I don't know what your talent is. Maybe it's just writing a note for cards. I want to tell you, one of the biggest blessings you could be to people is just write a card and send it to somebody. I tell you, incredible blessing to people. What is it that you're doing to give back to your community, to the world around you, as a result of the blessings God's already given you? That's the life. That's the question of generosity. The third thing I want you to note about generosity this morning is this. God's way of blessing you is a way of providing for others. Sometimes we don't think about this. I want you to see two different places. In Leviticus 19 and also in Leviticus chapter 23, God lays out some important rules, and again he goes back to this idea of the harvest. In Leviticus chapter 19 verses 9 and 10 it says, when you reap the harvest of your land, you should not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor gather the gleanings of your harvest, and you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 23 says this, and you shall count for yourself from the days of the Sabbath, from the day that you brought forth a sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwellings 2 waves of loaves, of 2/10 of an ephah, and they shall be a fine flour, they shall be baked with leaven, they are the first fruits to the Lord. And you shall offer the bread 7 lambs of the first year without blemish, 1 young bull, and 2 rams, and they shall be as a burnt offering to the Lord. And the grain offerings and their drink offerings and offerings made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering and 2 male lambs for the first year as a sacrifice of a peace offering. And the priest shall wave them in the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. And they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim on that same day that it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it, and it shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. Now look at this. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field. When you reap, you shall not gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor, the stranger. I am the Lord your God. There are three things I want you to catch in this last area. First of all, understand something. When God says, I am the Lord your God, He wants you to understand that stuff, jobs, ways of making money, ways of getting more things together should never become the God of your life. God expects to be your God. God expects to be the one that you trust for all that you have. God expects to be the one that you go to and say, Father, I have this need. Now, some of us have in our mind that when we pray, that God doesn't want to hear about all of our petty needs. But I want to tell you something, nothing could be further from the truth. God is a God who knows every hair on your head. He knows every idea that comes from your mind. He knows every need that's in your heart. God knows those things. And He longs for you to go to Him and say, God, here's what I have need of, so that He can be your God and show you the blessings in your life so that you can know that God is a part of your life every day. We think, well, God's too busy. He's got wars and famines and all those other things. God's a big God. He can handle all those other things and still hear your prayer request every time you lift them up. One time, 10 times, 1,000 times a day, you serve a God who wants you to know He is your God. Not just the pastor's God, not just the Sunday school teacher's God, not just the church member's God. He is a God who loves and knows and cares about you. Second thing I want you to notice about this is God has made a way through generosity to provide for His work. He's building His kingdom. That's what a part of the church that we serve in does. When you are a part of the ministry of this church, whether it be in your time, your talents, or your monies, I want you to understand God's using you as a part of this group to build His kingdom. That's His goal. That's the way He's designed it. That's the way He's set it up. And that's what He's talking about in all these offerings that we read about in that section. Whether it be the wave offerings, the bull offerings, the animal offerings, the bread offerings, all those were designed to provide for the building of His church, His people. But I want you to catch this. Even in the midst of meeting what God requires as a part of generosity towards Him, He has not forgotten those who we also ought to be generous towards. God has expectation you ought to give, I believe, 10% of all that you have, all that comes in your house, ought to come into the church. And we're going to talk about that at a later time. That's what we call a tithe. That's what we call an offering. But God also has expectation you'll be generous in other areas of your life as well. Not just so that you can come in and bring money to the church and do it and say you've done it, so that God can use you and be a conduit through which He blesses so many other people. The last thing I want you to notice about this section is who is involved in this. Sometimes as Christians, we say, well, I'm worried that where I give my money, it won't go to the right use. I don't want to give that person because they might go and do something I don't approve of. That's not your call. Quite honestly, once you give away your money to someone else in need, what they do with it is between them and God. At that point, it's His money. So this idea that we should only give to organizations that we know are positive and good, and you can't always know. And sometimes you're going to give to people and they're going to misuse what you give. And you know what? You got to be okay with it. You got to say to yourself, it wasn't my money to begin with. It's God's money. Because for every time you give to someone who misuses it, I promise you, there are 10,000 times you give to people who really do need it, who really do appreciate it. The word I want you to catch there is the stranger. In the nation of Israel, over and over again, God calls them to be separate as a people, away from the other nations around them. But in this instance of generosity, He always includes anybody who's in the community who may not be Jewish, who may not be known, so that they have their needs met as well. I believe God calls upon us to help people around the world, to make a difference in the lives of people, not just Baptists, not just people in this church, but literally people around the world. As a Christian, what greater opportunity will you ever have than to join God in doing His work by giving back a portion of what He's already given you, by living this life of generosity? This morning, I want to give you a final challenge before we have a prayer here in just a second. I want to challenge you this morning. This is, listen to me. If you've blocked out everything else, that's fine. Just wake up. We're almost through. I want to give you a challenge this morning. I want to challenge you to ask God during this prayer time, God, who can I help this week? Would you send somebody in my path that I could help this week? Show me how I can do that. Now, I want to tell you something. That's a little scary because you don't know who it's going to be. And you don't know what the needs are. But you have a God you can trust. And I want to tell you, if you'll ask Him, He'll show you some way, somehow, someone that you can make a difference in their lives. So I'm going to dare you this morning during the prayer time, ask God sincerely with your heart, God, who could I help this week? And you tell me what He does. Let God show you what He's going to do in your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I pray that You'd move in this time of the service. Father, we want to be generous people. God, we want to honor You and glorify You in all that we do. Father, I pray that You'll help us to do that. Father, give all of us in this room the courage to ask the question, who can I help? God, I don't know what that's going to mean this week. I don't know what it's going to take in my time or my efforts or my talents or my money, but God, they're all Yours. I pray that You'd show everyone in this room, an individual, a person, a family, someone that we could just touch their lives in some way, small or great, that we make a difference in a person's life. Show us who that's going to be. Help us to have the courage to pray that prayer. Father, we thank You and praise You for all that You've given us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. What are we going to sing? 294. And? Have Thine Own Way. 294, Have Thine Own Way. Sing it out loud. And if God's calling you in your heart to come down and pray, you can come down and pray. I tell you, a great thing to pray about today is the Fall Festival, that God would bring in our neighbors and our friends to come and come on campus and hear more about the Word of Christ and to meet Christians and know that they're going to be welcome to this church. So whatever God's calling you to do, whether it's to come down here in the front to pray or pray with me or pray at your seat, I hope that you'll have the courage to pray the prayer that I've challenged you with today. I'd like for everybody just to kind of bow your heads and close your eyes right where you're at. Jeannie's going to keep playing in the background. I just want to give you a chance just to pray right where you're at. Maybe God's laying on your heart somebody's face or name, or maybe you're not willing to come down. Maybe you're afraid or nervous about it. So I just want to give you a chance right where you're at if you want to, just lift up the prayer to God. God, how would you use me this week? God, would you give me the courage to be used this week? God, just take my life and do with it what you will. God, take my stuff and do with it what you will, my money, my time, my talents. God, this week I pray that you'd show me how you want me to be generous, how you could use me in all these things. God, show me how you're moving in my life right now. Maybe God's doing that for you right now. Just pray the prayer. Pour it out to Him. Talk to Him for just a minute. We're not going to be in a hurry here. Just talk to the Lord for just a minute. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for what you've done in our lives. Father, too many times we've been stingy with what we've got, and God, we really do come to you as a church right now. Lord, use us in whatever way you see fit. Father, we pray for the families and the kids that will come out this afternoon to the Fall Festival. Father, we pray that they'd have a good time and have some fun, but Father, most of all, we pray that you would use us to show them how much you love them, how important they are to you, how you care for them, and how this is a place that they can come to know you and know the way in which you love them. Father, I pray that you'd move here in a powerful way. Thank you, Father, for your many, many blessings. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Come to the Fall Festival tonight. Come be a part of that and be a part of what God's doing in your life, and I pray that He would show you how to be generous this week. Would you do me a favor? Would you sing the first verse of that song one more time? And let's be dismissed with that. Okay. Sing that out strong. First verse of that song, real strong.
Have thine own way.